Good morning. Thanks for joining us and thanks for listening here. This morning, I'd like to read from our book, Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David and by beloved El Moria. And I'm going to be reading chapter 21, The Magnification of Light, Increasing Your Auric Emanations. And as a preface, I just want to say that at times the masters ask for us to comment on how various things come to pass in our lives, how we have developed something or how we have approached securing something in the path of initiation as sharing in our services. And I'm approaching this from that aspect. I'm going to read this chapter and then I'm going to offer how I've pursued this as a practice, because a lot of times in these dictations and especially this book, what the masters are doing, what this master is doing especially, is describing the great benefits that can come about as a result of a logical step of evolution on the path of initiation, and not only what the benefits are, but some of the dynamics of it, of how it works and so forth. But he doesn't always tell you, here's how to get there. Here's a logical step to get there. And I think part of the reason is because it really is, or it can be, different for each person. And I think that they're encouraging us to pursue this with the interest of finding our way to this, because everybody has their own path to gain these things. On the other hand, I think sometimes it's easy if you're approaching a book and a study like this, it may be a little bit daunting, and I think some people don't know how to start. And so I'm going to offer how it worked for me in case that might be a useful starting point. So that's what I'm giving. Okay, so I'm going to read this. Chapter 21, The Magnification of Light, Increasing Your Auric Emanations. God-conscious ones, those who can perceive the human aura as an energy field around the sons and daughters of God must take responsibility in some way for the alleviation of human suffering and the freedom and enlightenment of mankind. The sensitive nature of the soul is such that when one beholds the forces of light and darkness operative within the human domain, there is always a choice to offer one's own connection with the divine world to benefit those who have not yet awakened to their true solar reality and the blessings that may accrue to their souls through this spiritually quickened state of being. One of my major purposes in releasing this series is to assist you in learning to magnify the light within the present and real domain of your own aura and world. For to dwell too much on cosmic principles or esoteric knowledge without putting into effect the wisdom within the teachings does not yield the desired result of personal transformation or planetary change. In other words, if we sit around and talk about these things and read about them, but then actually don't take action, it's you're not actually rowing the boat and getting there. In one sense, the aura is a lens to the inner character of man and the resources of his soul. You cannot observe solely within the physical vehicles of man, woman, and child what may be carefully seen and read within the auric field surrounding their bodies. When the true nature of an individual is revealed through right discernment, then one can truly be a helper in the highest sense without interfering with the natural process of the unfoldment of a person's karma, dharma, life plan, or mission. I have shared how important holding the immaculate image of perfection for every life stream is to the greater mission of all devotees of the light. In fact, the greatest masters have been rightly discovered to be those who can generate such an awesome field of crystalline beingness in God around themselves and all life that all who come within this field are blessed, raised, and healed by the great solar presence of their holy essence. To magnify the light, then, you must first completely wash and clean your entire aura in a cosmic stream of solar light energy from your source. This purification process may take weeks, months, and even years to fully accomplish, for the various layers of accumulated dark substance from years or lifetimes of ignorance and misuse of the light may be great. Many levels of astral soot must be transmuted by your conscious work. Once this sacred activity is accomplished, a greater divine radiance, a more sublime solar brilliance, is emitted through your aura. Then we can begin to tutor your soul in various, quote, greater works that involve the magnification of the light to higher and higher levels of divine glory, where you are literally locked into your divine presence. Its powerhouse of heavenly light begins to flow through you, and your Holy Christ Buddha self becomes the conduit for a release of great graces and boons to the souls of many and to the world at large all around you. When the Lord Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," he indicated that he had been fully subsumed into this divine relationship, where the lesser self of the man Jesus no longer held sway, and the full Christic beingness of his higher self was at play throughout his life and world. This feat was accomplished through many years of loving obedience to his guru, Lord Maitreya, following the lead of the master in all ways. Through self-discipline, through the continuous practice, and then the full mastery of the science of absorbing the spiritual light from his source, and then through a certain level of angelic intercession due to the prayers of his loving mother and others who supported his mission, Jesus was raised in vibration to live wholly within the greater auric field of his God presence, manifesting his sonship as the living Christ, the Logos, the Word in form. It's very interesting. He says that Jesus, the soul of Jesus, I think he's talking about, actually dwelt within the greater auric field of his God presence, which is, you might say, a step up from only being in the four lower bodies or only within the Christ Buddhic presence. So I used to think personally that the highest that an embodied person could really begin to outpicture was that of the Christ self or the Buddhic presence. And I believe that what he's saying here, let's put it that way. Mary held the field of Christic radiance for and around him through the immaculate vision of his being, always bathed and suffused in light. Jesus became a transmitter of all manner of miracles, healing energies, and the light of violet mercy and forgiveness because his aura shone with the solar brilliance of his real self. You too, O soul, may abide in this level of purity and wholeness by your conscious choice to maintain the inner cleanliness of your soul through spiritual attentiveness to the energies that flow through you, seeking always and ever to magnify the Lord through loving obedience to the holy will, wisdom, and love of the Divine One. In this process, you will be gently guided by your sponsoring master and inner guide to appropriate all light vouchsafed to you with a certain grace and alacrity, with a sense of reverent caution and yet a spirited, holy abandon that comes when you have fully dedicated your life to the purposes of the Creator as a co-creator yourself. To magnify light, you must first have developed the ability to receive that light, to learn to hold it within your consciousness, to retain its innate ability to bless and heal you, to release it within your sacred labor and all of the numerous activities and projects in which you're engaged, and to righteously deliver its sanctifying effects and personal blessings to all. It is not enough to simply be a conduit for an impersonal transfer of light to the mass consciousness. The light must be processed within your being, regenerated with the specificity of your own creative fires, and then shared in conscious works of spiritual uplift, support, and service to life. In this process, you become a laboratory for the Lord, a focal point for the alchemicalization of light within the domain of your own aura. Your aura is activated to become a literal solar furnace whereby the dross of planetary lead is transmuted into the golden liquid light of precipitated wisdom, to ennoble life, to bring many blessings and boons to those whom you've come to serve. I am magnifying the new blue frequencies of solar joy within the domain of Earth and all devotees of the will of God in this hour. Come and join me in being the one and stand in my radiant fire. Advocate for a new level of God reality aborning within you. I am Moria. I remember that at one point I read, I believe it was in the book Autobiography of a Yogi by Yogananda, that he explained that, and he had this explained to himself by his guru, Sri Yukteswar, that one way to look at the approach to the path of initiation is that there are two basic approaches. And one was the way that Yogananda tended to approach it naturally, and that was through the path of devotion. Whereas Sri Yukteswar approached it from the perspective of understanding and wisdom. Now, there may be other ways to slice and dice this kind of thing, but that explanation had a great impact on me, and I've been watching people and myself ever since then to sort of understand how it is that we approach the Lord in our path of our initiation. And I found that this is generally true, and I can honestly say that for sure my path is a lot more like that of Sri Yukteswar, which is to understand and to try things empirically and to experiment like a scientist, and yet obviously a certain amount of what are the elements of the path of adoration and adoring God through the emotions and so forth are necessary for those people, as is the path of knowledge and wisdom necessary to, in some degree, for those who are on the path of adoration. Okay, so I'm coming from a perspective, I'm just going to say, of what is natural to me. And I'll tell you that a lot of these concepts that were in this chapter that I just read, they happened to me some years ago, and so I didn't read them first and then wonder about them and then go approach it. They actually came to me in my daily meditation practice as, you might say, suggestions from a spiritual coach, my guardian angel, or one of El Moria's lieutenants who maybe is there to help me understand these things, or it could be El Moria himself. I don't know. I don't actually ask. But I definitely had I was led, through a series of experiences, and not just experiences, but exercises that I had to pursue in order to come up to the next level, and then I was able to do this. And I'd like to explain that what led to my understanding of the things in this chapter were, is that it started with a great desire within myself to understand what is my soul, who is my soul, and then what is my Christ self, and what is my I Am Presence, and what is the four lower bodies. Okay, we all understand the intellectual, the mental explanations for what these things are, but I wanted very deeply to be able to feel and see them in a very objective, lucid, tactile way so that I could understand it in an empirical way, as a scientist would be. And so I had been experimenting in my meditation practice with pressing all of my conscious awareness into just one part of my body. Like, for instance, I would put all of my attention and see from the perspective of the tip of one finger, for instance. And after practicing this for some time and doing it in different parts of my body, I began to see through a certain kind of vision, a sort of an inner vision, as if I was a tiny little thing, a little speck that was right at that location. And I developed that, and I developed that, and I began to understand that I was seeing through my soul awareness, and that the soul, for me at least, I experienced it as a point of light, you might say, that moved around inside my body, which was very edifying. And I began to understand a little bit better what is the soul, and then what are those voices of my mental body, or what are those parts of myself that are the emotional body. And to differentiate between these things is a very useful thing. I'll just leave it at that. But then I was led to the meditation upon my threefold flame, and I found my soul as this speck, as this small being, sitting, as it were, in my heart chakra. And I would do this day after day, and I would sit and watch and stare at my threefold flame. Just like a person would sit at the periphery of a campfire, and I would stare at it, and I began to feel a certain, I forget the word for it right now. It's where you begin to resonate with it, and you begin to feel that that thing that you've put your attention on is actually a part of yourself. I really could start to feel it, and I could just feel myself like grow this threefold flame, and it would grow. It would obey my thoughts, my feelings, my wishes, you might say. And I've been doing this for some weeks, and just practicing this, and practicing feeling myself as part of that threefold flame, thinking, well, you know, that sounds like a really good thing. Then one day a voice said, why don't you just step inside that flame? Why are you allowing yourself to be apart from it and outside of it? It wasn't really a voice. It was a thought. It was a telepathic thought. And for a moment, the mental part of me chimed in and said, oh, well, what if it'd be burned up or something like that? And I dismissed it, because I had learned what the sound of my mental body chiming in with its silly ideas sounds like. So I discarded it. I immediately just moved into that threefold flame, and I stepped into it, and I felt it, and I began to just engage with it. And within seconds, I just said, I vow that I'll never leave this. I vow right now that I will never leave this. Or if I find myself outside, I will return to it. And this is a big thing in my life that I've held to all my life since that. And this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And it's made a huge difference in my life. And it's had the effect of all these things that the master talks about in this book. And I'm not saying that I think that I'm somehow at some initiatory level of Jesus, but I'm saying that a great deal of what he's talking about, the benefits and so forth, I've experienced many times in practicing being inside, being completely melted and distributed and one with that threefold flame. I feel that a person can then begin to act completely in unity with the I am that I am. And it's interesting, in the Buddhic teachings, they talk about duality versus unity. And that's one of the most amazing parts of this experience, is that once you're inside that threefold flame like that, and you've been there for a while, the physics of the whole universe change, and it's not just a mental practice anymore, that you are feeling as though you're one with the universe or one with all life. It's completely evident It's completely empirical. That's just how it is. And furthermore, the geometry of things, the size of things, all gets completely changed, and you aren't really concerned anymore about time. It doesn't mean the same thing. And space, dimensions, all those kind of things don't mean the same. They really don't. And if you wish at that point to basically encapsulate within your being a whole house or a city or a state or a planet or even a bit larger, it's all possible. It took some time to convince myself of that, but that's part of the exercise in meditation that you do. That's part of the work of meditation, is to unlearn yourself from these limitations. But one of the aspects of it that is just a whole avenue of study is this one, which is this chapter, which is increasing the auric emanation, because it's not just automatic that you are emanating at the maximum level all the time. It is actually a function of your will. You can actually reduce yourself down to a pinpoint if you'd like, or you can, like I said, you can engulf a whole planet if you'd like. And not only the size is variable, but the intensity of the light is variable as well, because obviously it's important that the right amount of this electronic substance is being applied in the case of blessing life that is called forth. There is such a thing as too much, and there's such a thing as not enough. And so part of this study then begins to be, well, if you're walking around in a grocery store and you're in this meditation of radiating and blessing life and seeing that this electronic light is clearing away patterns within people that have held them back, patterns and habit patterns and behavior patterns that have been self-defeating and so forth. And this is what this electronic energy can do. You can actually feel the resistance within people of this, and you can actually modulate it, and your higher self is the one that's thinking and doing this, but with practice, you're completely aware of it, and it feels as though there's no difference between you and your God presence doing it. So when I say I do this or I do that, I just hope you understand it's with the perspective of when you're in the sweet spot, there is no difference between God completely in control of it and a person who is the soul being a part of it. Okay. And what it comes down to then is learning to dial the radiance according to the need of the hour. And that's part of the practice that is fun. It's really fun. The intensity and radiance of the aura can be greatly changed over time. And I've found that especially when I wake up in the morning, I kind of am back at a certain level, which requires me to reconnect and then to refire things up, because we sort of go into a dormant stage when we're asleep from one perspective, from the perspective of our four lower bodies. There's a part of us that's very active, of course, but I think it's important to rekindle and reconnect and then refire this cycle each morning. And I do it through meditation, and I do it by checking to see, am I connected? Am I inside that threefold flame? And I've done this for so many days and so many years that it becomes an automatic thing, that I know that I'm in that, inside the threefold flame. And I've had experiences where I was really outside of it too. In fact, at a certain time in the last year, I had a situation where I desired something I thought that was very righteous, and it was right, and I desired it very greatly. And as time passed, it didn't come to pass. It didn't come to pass. It didn't come to pass. And I started to feel kind of being like I was being split apart from my God. And there came a day when I actually had been not doing this meditation for a while, and I did it, and I realized that I was completely outside the flame. I was. And it took me probably more than an hour of effort of making amends, and it wasn't so simple as to just step back inside the flame. I had to forgive myself for all the thought patterns that had caused me to sort of edge out of here and place the importance of this thing as greater than my unity with my presence. And it took some effort. And I've since then began to be better at doing that and also checking. But this just shows some of the benefit of having a daily meditation practice and having some daily, like, checklist items that where you check and see where you're at. And not only that, but to have a program in your daily meditation whereby you're seeking to every day improve on some of these things. Maybe you show up for your daily meditation practice and you connect, reconnect like this. Okay, all systems go there. Yep. And I'm firing up the furnace and it's radiating, radiating, and I can reach out and I can feel the patterns of opposition in the world that are opposing the will of God, yet through love, I'm penetrating them, and I feel it penetrating, and I feel that I'm making progress here, and not just feeling the progress, but having some sense of the quantitative analysis of how am I doing, so that at any given time you can see whether you're making progress or not. This has been absolutely important for me, is to not only have a practice like this, but to also have built within this practice a quantitative sense of things, so that I know if I sit down into a meditation and I'm going to practice a certain blessing to life, I'll know whether I've reached the best I've ever done. And there's no thermometer or anything that's going to show up for you, but there is a way in the mind of God that you can access where you can kind of see that whether it's a number or something for you. And this sounds very analytical, and I apologize if this is not the kind of thing that is sort of you, because you may be more devotional in nature. However, I just want to say that I cherish and value this because it's really helped me move forward, is to have developed within myself and my practice the ability to see, well, how am I compared to the best I've ever done? And to keep trying to move the canoe a little bit farther each day. So anyway, I just wanted to relate that. So this is mostly what I wanted to share, is that this oneness with the Father is something that you can actually take steps to do. And I was led the way I described it. It could look very different for you, and I'm sure it is different for everybody. But in case you're not sure how to start, this is one way you could do it. And not only that, then to also have the sense of returning there day after day after day and learning to check to see if you're always in that oneness. And then from once you're in that oneness, you have the option of expanding geometrically and expanding through the radiance, which are two different dimensions, two different dimensions. One of them is size and one is intensity. And to practice that and practice it and learn to sense, how am I doing today? Because this is a great benefit when you come upon certain stages of the path of initiation that are actually very, very hard. It's good to be able to marshal your best at those times and to have access to the very best of your radiance and your oneness and all the tools in your toolbox that will help you pass all of your initiations. And that's what I hope for each one of us, is that we are able to pass our initiations as quickly as possible and to bless life. Those are the benefits, and those are the goals of this whole thing. So thanks so much for listening, and God bless you. Have a great, great day.